Here's one you probably haven't thought of. In all the 35 years that I have preached, we've had what we call the Friday seminar or the Friday forum. The Friday before I preach a message, I sit down with that group of people. Often there will be one or two or three elders present. I sit down and I basically talk through the text and talk about where I'm going to go. It depends on how well or not well the last Sunday went, but also open for discussion is, what about last Sunday? What that does is, for one thing, if I'm a little off the mark, as I can easily be, if I'm a little off the mark, if my logic doesn't flow, if my exegesis of the text isn't that good at that point, somebody calls it to my mind. They've saved me from embarrassment. I would far rather be corrected in that group of six guys than I would to stand up in front of that crowd and make a fool of myself. It's a powerful thing. But what it says is nobody is autonomous. Everything is done in this plurality of people who are trusted. And the interesting thing that's come out over those 35 years, a number of guys who are excellent preachers have come out of that group, and half of them have not been seminary students. There have been some excellent preachers because they followed the preaching process so long, they're saying themselves, well, this isn't so hard. And off they go. And they're good. They're really good. So that's something to think about. I'll tell you one story on that, and then I'll get off the hobby horse. A guy, a seminary student, got up, and he spoke on a particular text, and he did a terrible job. It was just terrible. And one of my preacher friends who was in seminary at the time is blind. He's sitting there at the table with his fingers on his Braille New Testament, Greek New Testament. And he says to this guy, there are three parallel participial phrases in the Greek text. How do you understand those? This guy's flopping around like, he didn't know there were three parallel participial phrases. He didn't know anything about the text because he had a message that he laid on the text rather than the message coming out of the text. When we got through, the guy said to us, isn't there anything good you could say about that message? One of my fellow elders said to him, brother, when you stand behind this pulpit, you speak for God, and you had better not be sloppy when you do. That guy called me back years later, said that was a turning point in my life. I never forgot that rebuke. That's the kind of thing where you got real plurality of function that I think is important. Part two I call sharing the shepherding load. What I've tried to say in the first part is the elders are to shepherd each other as a vital part of their care of the flock. Now what I'm going to say is that elders ought to as leaders. What's interesting in this text is that the function of the elders corporately is dealt with in their leadership role. And I'm saying that in that leadership role, it is their responsible to push ministry outward rather than to collect it inwardly, and somehow shepherding is only their turf. I got to tell you, if all the elders were functioning at 120%, doing a marvelous job, the shepherding work would not be complete. It couldn't be, because there's too much work to be done. That's where my friend Jim was talking about one another ministry. Shepherding takes place as the body ministers to itself. Is that not right? Listen to this. Here's a survey that was recently done. 1,500 pastors leave the ministry permanently every month in America. Now, this is not flaky. This is Barna, focused on the family, whatever. 80% of the pastors, 85% of their spouses feel discouraged in their roles. 70% of the pastors do not have a close friend, confidant, or mentor. Over 50% of the pastors' wives feel their husband entering the ministry was the most destructive thing that ever happened to their family. 30% of the pastors said they'd either had an ongoing affair or had one in the past. 71% of the pastors said they were burned out, they battled depression, fatigue on a daily basis. One out of every 10 ministers will actually retire as a minister. Now, my first response, and I said it to a group of pastors, was part of the problem is ecclesiology, folks. Nobody can handle that load. But what's true for one man is true for a small group of leaders as well. And so what I understand when Paul teaches in the scripture is that there must be an offloading, that part of the job of the elder is this corporate job of ruling and leading and guiding the flock, so the flock ministers to itself. So that it isn't all the ministry, just focus on the elders. I know that in many churches, the elders aren't doing what they should. I know that. Even if they were doing what they should still be encouraging other people to do that. Ephesians chapter 4, Paul talks about the building up of itself, the body building itself up in love. He says that apostles and prophets and pastor teachers and evangelists are to equip the body, and they do the work of the ministry. So that elders are to be helping offload ministry and encouraging people who have the diversity of gifts and the diversity of experience. 2 Corinthians 1. God makes us a steward of our sufferings. And when God comforts us in our sufferings, he does so that we may administer that comfort and share it with others, right? If you say to somebody, I've experienced what you've experienced, and here's what God's taught me, that means a lot more than I've never been there, but here's what I say to you. So what I'm saying is, in the gifting of the body, in the administrative function of the elders, in the unique experiences and equipping of each member of the body, one of the things that elders need to do is to recognize spiritual gift, to teach it, to encourage people in their function. And I'm going to say a word that I sometimes say, but I call it leading from behind. Sometimes it's best for leaders not to be in front, because if you stand in front, there won't be a line. Sometimes you need to stand back and say to somebody, you know what? Here's something that needs to be done. And somebody needs to rise to that occasion. If I always open my mouth, if I'm always there, then they're going to look for me to do it. So I've said this. In the shepherding of the flock, the elders are responsible to shepherd themselves. And they are also responsible in an administrative and leadership way to facilitate and encourage shepherding of the body to the body. So that all of the shepherding needs of the body needs to be done.